Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. My name is Dennis Neufeld and I am here with our Spirit of Truth Ministry research team getting ready for our program. And we are delighted that you've taken a couple of minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our study. I want to remind you, and I will post on our Blog Talk Radio site and on our Facebook group page the information where you can get the information about our book and about some of the other things. Our website is spiritoftruthministry.net, and you can go there for our book and writing by Rick Sterling. You can also go to our original website, spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, M, and there you will find a lot of good writing, some historical data, some biography, and a description of how our book is was written and how it is put together. So I encourage you to go there as well. We will get started here in just one second here. Hang on here. And now let's have prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor your names. We honor the names of the beings that have provided a way for us to experience eternal life through the salvation provided for his kingdom by Jesus. Thank you for going before us and showing us the way to truth, which is the light and will be the light of the world. Thank you for taking care of our nation and the outcome of the election. Thank you for putting us on the life road path rather than the death road path. And I praise your name for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let me go ahead and click on Dr. Don here. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you?
Good morning. Enjoying the beautiful day. Quiet.
Good.
Is this the quiet before the storm?
It sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Well, we're kind of in the storm.
Yeah, we are kind of in the storm.
Okay.
Anyway, it's
good morning, Don.
And we also have Mike, and we have Larry here. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And Michael Niboy, how
are you? Good morning to you.
Good. So, let's continue on learning the truth. Rick, did you
give the date?
I did. Well, see, November. It's good. November. I'm still on November.
Yesterday
it's December,
was November.
It's December. It's December 5, 2020. Yesterday, we had a nice conversation with some friends of ours at George's, and I think that it would be just appropriate as a contextual thing to kind of tell our audience this morning what went on there that was rather encouraging. The person that we normally see there is... well, I guess I can use his name because nobody knows him, and he's certainly not listening, but it wouldn't matter.
Don't dox him.
His name is Jess, and he is a friend of ours that comes there a couple of times a week. And he is very, very concerned about the outcome of the election. And
by the way, we tell him or we inform him that the election outcome has not happened yet.
Right, exactly. It hasn't occurred. And he comes in every time I see him. He says, has anything changed? I mean, you know, are we still, you know, on track? And what was your impression of his son, though? That's the thing that was really interesting.
I had a wonderful conversation with his son, with he and his son. And as I was sharing with Dennis this morning, I had a thought about what would make a person pay attention and listen to what you had to say. If you come across as knowledgeable in the subject, and it's a subject that concerns them and they want to know more about it, that's how you make any I don't know if progress is the right word, but people listen when they have a concern or they want confirmation of something. They'll listen to what you have to say, particularly if what you're saying is encouraging to them. One thing he said to me last night was, you certainly are very knowledgeable about this. Because I have given a significant amount of attention to becoming informed, as I did with studying the Bible to become informed about that. And to say something encouraging to someone who thinks that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, they will pay attention to you. And really, that's what's important. You know, yesterday I talked about what constitutes the soul. What constitutes the soul is words, either truthful words or lying words. It's words that constitute the soul. Do you know what I mean by constitute?
Puts the soul into existence.
The fabric, if you will.
That's right.
The substance. The substance of the soul is words. But words are the substance, but what does the substance bring about? If the words are truthful, then how you understand, or interstand, if you like, the reality in which you exist and the reality that you exist in with others allows you to understand the reality. Larry, you're...
I don't know if I've assembled enough thoughts, but I'll give it a shot. Carry on from there.
No, I have no question.
Well, I'm thinking that words are what we are and what dictates our actions. But the soul is composed of that, but we have the ability to reconstitute our soul by choosing to change the words so that we change our actions, and so we have a choice into which words remain in our soul, which makes the world of a difference as to who we are.
What God wants is a soul that is filled with truth. A soul filled with truth is righteous, because our actions have at the heart, in other words, the heart of our actions are an expression of our soul. The body doesn't sin. The soul sins by making but the body does the work.
Words are what we choose to form our beliefs, and our beliefs dictate our actions, but we have the ability to change all that if necessary, and in most cases that is necessary.
It depends on your agenda, and that basically is where it comes in. I don't. For all of those of you who watched the goings on in the hearings in the various states where there have been some shenanigans in the voting process taking place, a really good example of a soul committed to sin was demonstrated by a member of the Georgia House of Representatives, state representative, who saw with her own eyes definite fraud taking place, but didn't want to acknowledge that she saw the fraud taking place. So her response to that was, well, you've presented your case in various courts, and in 40 courts, they have thrown it out, or they haven't accepted your evidence.
And she cited several personally selected authority figures that said there was...
Who all see things the same way she does. They're all on the same page. And that page is, we have an agenda, we've got to make it happen. And so anything that might subvert that agenda must not allowed to have a hearing or to be accepted. So you can see fraud taking place. Everyone in the room saw the fraud taking place on the surveillance. Taking place, but this one congresswoman was saying, well, I don't care what you see happening there, you haven't had a court that would accept any of your evidence, so then it must not be evidence. What we're seeing happen must really not be happening, because you haven't had a court that has accepted any of this.
to me, the point was she wasn't willing to think for herself. She wanted to cling to these other figures that had made...
Where the problem really is, and then we'll move on. Where the problem really is these people who behave this way are bought and paid for. They're bought and paid for, and what that means is they are a bond servant. A bond servant to the ruler of the world, who is a liar, has always been a liar, and all those who belong to him lie, promote lies, protect lies, dismiss lies, or dismiss truth that would prove their lies, lies. They have received a significant amount of money, and if they go off the narrative, all their skeletons in their closet are brought out for all the world to see, and they don't want that to happen. God gives people what they have earned. You might want to call it a wage. I would call it a result. If you behave in a manner consistent with what God wants those created in his image and after their likeness, God responds to them with the same, in the same manner in which they have responded to their fellow man. The earth today is, the majority of the people are God-fearing people. They worship a God that they do not know. But their behavior is consistent with caring about others. There is a small minority who are following along with the devil. Now, when I say a small minority, there's, 7+ billion people in the world right now? And I'm guessing, because, of course, you can't really take a poll and find out the actual numbers here, but I'm guessing that there's not more than a third of the 7+ billion people in the world that are actively working on behalf of Satan. God wants people to behave. God also wants people to learn the truth about themselves, knowing that when people know their Creator, their behavior aligns itself with the will of their Creator. What we read in Revelation is a very unsettling reality. What the Son of God had to say about the reality of the end of days is very unsettling. He described it as a time of trouble, of distress, such as has never been since there was a nation until that time and never will be again. Matthew chapter 24. That's really unsettling. We're getting a small taste, like when you walk into the ice cream shop and you look at the many varied flavors, some of which you've never heard of before. And you say, well, how does that one taste? And they say, well, here, let me give you a sample. So you have a taste. We're having a taste of the hellfire and brimstone of Revelation right now. In fact, in this state, California, where we all live, the governor is showing his true dictatorial character and plan.
He is a tyrant.
And in New York, mayors and governor and the governor are behaving in a tyrannical, dictatorial manner. In fact, they had caused a coming together of two completely different religious practices, the Orthodox Jews and the Roman Catholics. They came together, they went to court, lodged a class action suit against the governor and the mayor, and won. So they can have their church services. But here in the United States, it's nothing like what it is in the world, the rest of the world. They're already under the deep state New World Order. It just hasn't been fully enforced, but it is being enforced little by little, and all they're waiting for is for Joe Biden to swear in as president of the United States, then step aside, and the union of world countries will immediately take power. That's Revelation 13. I don't know if you've read Revelation 13, but if not, let's just read a few verses. I was standing on the seashore. Then I saw trying to see with the shadows moving back and forth. And I saw a beast emerge from the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns. And stop right there. These divisions are already set. There is the Indo-European, European Union, the union of Russia and China, the African Union, the North American Union, and the South American Union. That's five. Okay? If you turn to chapter 17 and let's start with verse 8. The beast you have seen once was and now is not, yet he is yet to come up from the abyss. So the beast it's talking about here is the scarlet beast that is described in the beginning of chapter 17. But only to go to his destruction. And the people of the world whose names have not been written since the beginning of the world in the book of life will think it miraculous when they see how the beast once was and now is not and is still to come. Here there is need for cleverness, for a shrewd mind. The seven heads are the seven hills, and the woman is sitting on them. The seven heads are also seven emperors. Now here it comes. Five of them have already gone. One is here now, and one is yet to come. Once here, he must stay for a short while. The beast who once was and now is not is at the same time the eighth and one of the seven. And he is going to his destruction. So why do I read that? Because the beast, the first beast of Revelation 13, that composite beast with the body of a leopard, mouth like a lion, feet, claws like a bear, it has already been put together, and it's subduing the world was supposed to happen in 2016. That's why it's all together. And if you look at the rest of the world, it already controls the whole world except for the United States of America. It does not control United States of America. But it was supposed to take control of the United States in 2016, but she didn't win the election. So what does that have to do with anything? Turn to Revelation 7. Start reading in verse 1. Next, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the world back to keep them from blowing over the land or the sea or in the trees. Then I saw another angel rising where the sun rises, carrying the seal of the living God. He called in a powerful voice to the four angels whose duty was to devastate land and sea. Wait, before you do any damage on land or at sea or to the trees, until we have put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard how many were sealed, 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel. Larry, has that happened yet?
No.
Dennis, has that happened yet?
It has not happened yet.
Mike, has that happened yet?
Seems unlikely.
Well, let's read here, chapter 8, starting with verse 2. Next, I saw seven trumpets being given to the seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. A large quantity of incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that stood in front of the throne. That word saints, which has really been lost its true meaning, I should say, over time. But another word for saints is holy people. Now, would God call someone holy who wasn't holy?
That's a big no.
And what does holy mean? It means sanctified. It doesn't mean someone who still has a lot of lies that they're working with. They're not holy. So when it says all the saints, it's talking about a lot of holy people who have been sanctified. Well, okay. How many holy people do you know of right now?
3.5
Good answer. So we know that if next month, on the 20th of next month, the cheater is inaugurated, he will step aside and let the New World Order take control of this country. Immediately, the mark of the beast will be forced upon the people.
Will be vaccinated on the people.
And the dose of vaccine will have a little chip in it, which will attach itself to your nerve in your body and basically, plus, you have to give up everything you own. Now, if you say, oh, Rick, come on, they're not going to do that right away. Well, I don't know if you heard Lion Trudeau, but he spouted off a couple weeks ago about the plans of the New World Order. And he was doing it kind of in a way to make it sound appealing. You know, all private property is going to be taken over by the state. So you're not going to own anything. You're not going to own your car. You're not going to own your house. You're not going to own any property. You're not going to have any businesses. You just give that all up to the state. Then in return, the state will give you a monthly income. And then you do your job. But the job you do, you don't get paid for by the hour. You get your monthly income. Anything you use, you rent. So you rent the house you live in. You rent the car you drive. You rent your furniture. You rent everything. Because you won't be able to buy and sell. You'll rent. Your kids will go to their indoctrination centers where they will be fed lies about history and tell them that the world has finally evolved to the pinnacle of existence. Those who do not comply will be taken to re-education camps. If they refuse to be re-educated, they will, mysteriously die of some virus. You know, you've got to reduce the population anyway because the earth was never meant to have this many people living on it. they don't tell you that you piss off enough people on earth and they will revolt, and then your comfortable little lifestyle of all the dictators, well, it's not so comfortable, let's say. People, this is going on in the world right now. The only place it isn't taking place is here in the United States. They are all ready to take over. Now, why am I making such a big deal about that? Well, I started out with Revelation 7, and I went to Revelation 8, and after we see here this angel that stood before the altar, and incense was offered up with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that stood in front of the throne. And so from the angel's hand, the smoke of the incense went up in the presence of God with the prayers of the saints. Why are the saints all praying? I don't see that happening. I mean, I know there's a lot of prayers going up about the election, but I don't know if that applies here. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, which he then threw down to the earth. Immediately there came peals of thunder and flashes of lightning, and the earth shook. Not California, not Indonesia, not Chile, not Iran, not Greece. The earth shook. Wobbled around like a drunk man. Has that happened? No. And what does the casting down of the censer tell us? What is the censer used for on the altar? Well, what it's describing, it sounds like the Day of Atonement. What happens on the Day of Atonement? Atonement for all the saints is taking place in the temple, in the heavens. And it looks like atonement for the kingdom, the saints, has come to an end because the censer with which atonement is made on the altar has been cast down to the earth. What could that possibly mean? Well, let's go to Revelation 11. Start reading in verse 1. Then I was given a long cane, a measuring rod, and I was told, go and measure God's sanctuary and the altar. Now, whenever I have looked for what measuring means, there's a plumb line and there's a measuring stick and
balances.
What measuring means is judgment. That's what judgment is. Now, you know, later on we find out in Revelation that there's another judgment that takes place. This angel has a rod of pure gold. So here we've got a bamboo cane or something like that. The standard of judgment is not the same as a golden standard. And measuring God's sanctuary and the altar and the people who worship there, but leave out the outer court and do not measure it because it has been handed over to the pagans. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. So we have the closing of one judgment. And because it says the sanctuary and the altar, those who serve at the altar are the priests of the kingdom. Those who worship in the sanctuary are the kingdom, the people of the kingdom. So we have the closing of the worshipers and the altar and the sanctuary. That would be the casting down of the censer. And then the pagans or the Gentiles or the nations is more like it. It's more like the nations. They trample on the holy city for 42 months. Their judgment comes during the trumpets. So if we read about what goes on with the trumpets, we read that in starting in verse 6 in Revelation 8. We have the first, the second, the third, and the fourth trumpets. And when you read what these trumpets are announcing, it hasn't happened yet. So we haven't seen the casting down of the censer. We haven't seen the judgment of the priests, which are the 144,000. We haven't seen the judgment of the kingdom, which are the five wise virgins. We haven't seen the first trumpet, the second trumpet, the third trumpet, or the fourth trumpet. Now, the fifth trumpet is the release of Satan from the abyss. Now, one might think that that's already happened because Satan is very active in the world today trying to overthrow the elected president of the United States. And they are right now actively engaged in a spiritual conflict with Satan and all of his human worshipers. And if you don't think so, just watch what is taking place. And this coming week, I understand we are going to see some real distress. But what I want to tell you is, I don't know how well you know God, but you probably know him at least well enough to understand that he would never allow himself to be caught flat-footed. Do you know what that means?
Nothing surprises him.
What does flat-footed mean?
Not ready for action.
Have you ever played tennis?
Have you ever played football?
Yeah. If you're on the tennis court and you're flat-footed, you cannot get to a ball.
You cannot get to the ball.
No. It doesn't matter if it's hit right at you. If you are flat-footed, you cannot respond.
You're not engaged in the game.
In other words, if you're caught flat-footed, you are totally not expecting what you've been asleep for too long, and now you wake up and you realize you're in the middle of everything, and you didn't even get yourself started. There is only one explanation why we see that this beast is already there and just waiting for the United States to submit, and we will be in the fifth month before the end of all things. Because if you read about Satan being released from the abyss, you find out that they have power to kill and to torment and to torture for 5 months. But you've got to have the two witnesses before that. You've got to have the fourth seal and the fifth seal coming up on the sixth seal. Because let me tell you, if they get the United States, you're either going to be vaccinated or you're going to be imprisoned and executed.
So, to put it simply, what you're saying, Rick, is that because of the way Revelation has been written, the order in which all of this must take place is established. And we, at this present moment, are outside of that order.
if you can recognize that according to what the rest of the world is in, and I'm talking about if you're in the United States looking out at the rest of the world, you see the tyrannical dictators that are ruling over the European countries, over Australia and New Zealand, over Indonesia, and over the Eastern European countries.
And the African countries.
And the African countries. Of course, the African countries, the poor people of the African countries have had to deal with it for centuries.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you one thing right now. Next year, I think Africa is going to be blessed more in proportion to what it has had to endure. The African people are incredibly wonderful people. I've seen a spiritual character in Africa that few countries could match. I mean, when you have to endure what they've had to endure, and I know because I work with a lot of them who want to immigrate to the United States, the nurses who want to immigrate to the United States. And I hope to be able to go to Africa, particularly Nigeria, and talk face to face with those that I've only communicated with email. I turn to Revelation 10. I find it interesting, the placement of this information. Remember that the chapters and verses were not placed in there by John. They were placed in there by the translators. So this information seems to be right in the middle of what is written in Revelation. And why is that? Revelation 10 comes just before Revelation 11, which talks about the judgment, the measuring rod, and the two witnesses. And it goes through and gives kind of a condensed version of the whole distressful reality. And then Revelation 11 also contains the seventh trumpet. Why do I say the seventh trumpet? Well, because we see the seventh trumpet in Revelation 10. We don't see the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. I mean, the sixth. We see the seventh. Could it be that in the end of the time of peace and prosperity, when what I believe is going to come, which is what turned the part of the message that turned his stomach bitter, is a natural cosmic disaster. Maybe like a micronova from the sun. In fact, a micronova from the sun could easily be explained by the first, second, third, and fourth trumpets. In verse 7 of Revelation 10, and this is interesting because 7 and 10 together always seem to indicate the end, the full cup. What has been happening up to that point has now come to an end, and we're coming into a new, it's kind of like the Jubilee. So it says, the time of waiting is over. Waiting for what? What does it say what we're waiting for? Well, if we read about what the angel is doing, it kind of sounds like what we read, it's similar to what we read in Revelation 7. The land and the sea and the heavens. We don't read about the seven heads and the ten horns and the beasts and the great city. No, what we see is a message that comes just before the announcement that the delay has ended. What do you do during a delay?
You wait.
You wait for what? You wait for the event or whatever it is that you're waiting for. We see in the hand of the angel there's a small scroll that is unrolled.
Rick, may I just make a comment about waiting? Do we wait for Christmas? Do you wait for anything that you know is going to happen at a specific time and on a specific date? Does that involve waiting? Certainly you have to transition through that time period, but when you know when it is going to occur, is that waiting for it? I don't think so. I think waiting has more to do with...
Yeah, it's more preparing.
It is more preparing for something you know will happen, but you don't know when it will happen. And this is one of the reasons why people make a run on stores when there's an announcement that, for instance, we're going to close the state down again. You see, they're going to the store because they don't know when that shutdown will end.
And you know, they're not closing the state down because they're concerned about the elderly contracting the virus.
Well, if that was the case, they'd take care of the elderly.
Yeah. Instead of kill the elderly and then, you know, whatever. I want to just, before we run out of time, I want to mention Kim Clement again. I've talked about Kim Clement over the past couple of 3 years. But particularly in regards to what he said he was told about the election of Donald Trump. Now, in 2010, he announced that God had told him that in 2016, Donald Trump would be elected president. It was kind of shocking to him and shocking to most of the people that he was telling, because at the time it was believed that Donald Trump was a playboy, philanderer, and, well, you know, with the rich and almost famous do. But he said, no, God said he's going to be a praying president, and he's going to have a praying president in the White House. And believe it or not, it's true. I've seen him pray before a cabinet meeting. Well, he hasn't prayed, but he had Mike Pompeo pray. Now, Kim Clement also said that in 2020, he would be reelected for a second term, although there would be a lot of attempts, a huge attempt to keep him out of the White House. And he also said, I'm seeing landslide,
But I don't know whether it's the 2016 election or the 2020 election. Well, it wasn't the 2016 election. And to me, that was the key, that he said, I keep seeing landslide, because it was only because of the landslide that the evidence for the fraud was so obvious. Because they had the fix in so it would look like it was just people voting for Joe Biden more than Donald Trump. But when Donald Trump won by a landslide, they had to recalibrate and reprogram, and they had to print out hundreds of thousands of more ballots. Because what they do is they reprogram the machines to flip the votes, but they have to have the ballots to match the votes. So they print out hundreds of thousands of ballots and feverishly just fill out Joe Biden. They don't even put anything else on the ballot. Just Joe Biden, run it through. Joe Biden, run it through. Feverishly trying to get it so that their guy will win the election.
And in Pennsylvania, they had 1.8 million ballots sent out by request and 2.4 million returned.
Yeah. Plus, you can watch on the tickers on the news channels on election night, where Donald Trump would lose 2,500 votes and Joe Biden would gain 2,500 votes at the same time. Anyway, rest assured that Donald Trump has won this election and will be inaugurated for a second term. And don't lose heart, people of the world, because Donald Trump is not just going to make America great again. He is going to make the world greater than it has ever been. There will be peace and prosperity for everyone on the earth. But the bitterness, the sour in the stomach of the message. Now, not having seen the message, I don't know. All I know about it is that it's sweet as honey in the mouth, but turned his stomach bitter.
It's one of those, but wait, there's more. And the more is a little bitter.
But there's really no need to worry about the earth ending cosmic disaster, life-ending cosmic disaster. Because I believe that God will take those who have taken the time to come to know him and know him like a father knows his son and a son knows his father or mother or brother or sister or grandparent. He will take those from the earth until the disaster has run its course, and then come back with those and transfer the throne of the universe to this.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. That was a very encouraging message. Thank you, Rick. We hope that you will join us a week from yesterday, Friday, for another edition of the Bible on Trial at 10 a.m. Pacific time right here on our Blog Talk Radio channel. We also hope that you will join us a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Go to spiritoftruthministry.net to take a look around and especially to read our book, The Spirit of the Church. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a happy Sabbath, a blessed day, and we will see you all next time.